Okay, interesting. Didn't know that. Ah, okay, sure. I thought it was based in the US. That's my misunderstanding. Ah, sure. So the statement was the original debug is actually from Germany, but it's now been developed by a US guy, for my correction. I also got forked a little while back into a project called Ledger SMB. I believe there were some disputes over the behavior of patching some security holes in SQL Ledger, which led to a bit of a division in the community. At this stage, I think the most, technically they're both still quite similar, but Ledger SMB looks like it's diverging quite rapidly. We've done a lot of rewrites, writing new features in, and we've got quite an active and exciting roadmap on the books. GNU Cache. Now, I know there's a talk, I think it was Monday, in Business Mini Conf about GNU Cache and using it. Great little program. It's ideal for individual small businesses. One difference compared to the previous two options is that it's not a centralized system. It runs on a local installation. I believe you can use it for SQL database, but from what I'm reading and trying to find out is it's somewhat limited in what features are supported with the SQL database. You can do most stuff, but not necessarily everything. So those are the frameworks covered by briefly. There's tons more if you do a bit of research or find some. There's also more ones that aim for particular organizations. So if you're a VoIP provider, there's certain applications and billing systems designed specifically for call handling, ISP, similar sort of thing. Before I talk about integration, I just really want to make a point about the wheel. The wheel's a pretty awesome invention. It allows us to move stuff around easily, it's reliable, it's been well bug tested. You tend not to have any problems with it. Don't fucking reinvent it. There are so many accounting and billing systems out there, it's not funny. Now, when you ever talk to a new startup company, they go, we're building this cool new SaaS platform, and we're going to write this really awesome billing system that handles it, and it'll integrate really well. It doesn't tend to work that well. You have far more problems than you expect, and it's just not worth the hassle when there's so many else out there. I mean, hey, for developers, we can whip up an accounting system overnight. It's bloody easy. It's just a bunch of maths, and we'll just put some tables in a SQL database and chuck a user account on it. Easy as, mate. No worries. Until someone decides and realises that there's an obscure taxation requirement it has to support, or a particular business process to handle, or the accountants want a particular audit system built on it. And so 2 months later, after your one-night jobs become a massive issue, you finally realise that accounting software is going to drive you insane. Don't reinvent it. It's just not worth the hassle. Most of the packages out there will do 85-90% of what you want. Usually most of the companies I've seen tend to just want to do something like integrate with their e-commerce site, integrate with their shopping cart, integrate with their billing, the ISP side of things. Really minor stuff, and it's just not worth writing a whole system to handle it. Otherwise, you end up with situations where you have a company that's got an accounting package, a billing system, and no integration between them, because they've been written by two different sides. And I've seen that before, and it's not pretty to try and resolve. So let's talk a little bit about integration. I didn't want to go into too much technical detail with this talk because at the end of the day, I can show you guys a whole bunch of source code. I'm not going to re-register. If you're interested, grab the docs, and it always tells you there. SQL Ledger integration is interesting. It's somewhat basic. You pretty much have to either pass the data via POST or GET over HTTP, or you have to run the SQL Ledger files on the command line with a bunch of options. The only other way is to actually hook into the database itself. I had one customer that used SQL Ledger quite heavily, and they had it integrated with the billing system. What they ended up doing was actually putting a whole bunch of triggers into the database, and actually watching every time SQL Ledger made a change, trying to feed the information back into the billing system to try and join the two together. But that seems to be pretty nasty. So if you're doing basic stuff, like just wanting to create an invoice or create a transaction, it should do quite nicely, but if you want two-directional, it's going to be a little bit tricky without actually using the database. Now, as part of my project to actually provide import tools into my accounting system, I actually went through and looked at the database schema for SQL Ledger and broke it out, documented it, and what most of the tables are for and how they're structured. So if you are doing any work with SQL Ledger, just drop me an email and get those docs to you. They're a little bit alpha. There might be a few mistakes in them, but it should give you enough information to actually integrate with SQL Ledger's database reasonably easy. And there's billing system integration. This is what I designed it for. I'm a geek. I want to be able to engineer it, hook into it, make it do interesting stuff. So we've got a full SOAP API, which is basically, not from the SOAP, it's basically XML over HTTP. So just point to our web server, write your scripts, and away you go. And to make it really easy, we've got a whole bunch of sample code and documentation you can just download and start using. I've got a bunch of links on the slide. I will make the slide available afterwards, so you don't have to write down all the links if you don't want to. But really easy to write stuff for. I mean, I set it up the other weekend for my flat, so I can now charge my flatmates for how much traffic they use on our cap, because someone went slightly over and used 180 gig on an 80 gig plan. And when it's charged $1.50 a gig, it's quite important to get it right. So it's actually really easy to start whipping up your own little scripts. Integration of proprietary applications. Now, I would love to say, toss out all your proprietary accounting systems, go grab an open source one, and you'll be sweet. However, I'm sure a lot of businesses are going to say, we only use SAP or MYOB or some other large thing like ACPAT. In that case, there are certain tricks you can do to get integration with other systems. Some approach I've seen, I mentioned before, are triggers. If you just chuck a database trigger on your billing system or the accounting system, you can share data back and forth between them that way. Assuming, of course, a database is capable of that. Otherwise, your other options usually are limited to just providing an export feature in your own tools, like your own billing platform, which you can then import into the accounting system. It's not a pretty situation. A lot of proprietary systems are relatively limited in what you can do with them. So, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the mistakes of accounting packages, but also more about what you should look for in an accounting package, particularly from a developer point of view. I've seen far too many of these problems in too many programs, so if these are any of your problems, please make sure you fix them. Scratching your own itch. Now, this gets back to my earlier point about not reinventing the wheel. It may be fun to create your accounting system. Hell, if you create an accounting system where you enter information using a VI-style syntax, I would love it. It'd be very, very cool. Your accountant will hate it. They will beat you with sticks until you fix it. But at the end of the day, this software is purely to run your business and to provide the records that account staff and the tax departments require for their needs. No one does accounting for fun. You just want to get it done, get it over, get your money at the end of the day. Go hack on something much cooler like the kernel. So make sure your software is designed in such a way that it's easy for you to use, but at the same time, it's suitable for the actual accounts people, tax people to use. Make love to your accountants. Now, I don't mean this in a literal sense, unless your accountants are particularly attractive, in which place, please give them my number. What I really mean is make sure your accountants are happy with the software you're using, happy with the way you're doing it, and are capable of using the software you've developed. Otherwise, you run into problems where they'll find it difficult and non-compliant, and they'll either kick up your fuss, charge you lots of money, or all of the above. If you're a developer of an open source accounting package, it's actually a little bit more done different. In my case, I know part of my weakness is, in New Zealand, a lot of companies use MYOB, Accountants Edition. It's a very, very popular proprietary package. And what happens is, you go to your accountant and say, I'd like you to do my books. And they say, certainly, send us your MYOB import file. And you send them your proprietary file, they'll import it, click a few buttons, send off your tax return, charge you $700. The problem with this is when you use a different application, and even proprietary vendors are having problems with this. They say, I use QuickBooks, or I use SQL Ledger, or I use Ember DMS billing system, and the accountants don't support it. Some won't work, on the system, won't work for you at all, others will just charge you large amounts of premiums to actually use it. Which is one of the more advantages with the web-based ones, is you can actually point your accountant at a URL and can get them that way. But just be aware of those issues, make sure they can use it. And if you're developing like me, try and talk to some accounting companies, get them on board. If you can say, our product works really well and leaves companies support it, excellent. And that is actually one personal problem I've been having with my business, is talking to those accountants, getting them on board, and saying, there's an option other than proprietary software. We can provide an open source solution, come take a look. So it's quite a challenging area, and it's kind of like the days before we had the ability to create doc files. Everyone else uses Office, and it's really hard to talk to them because they only want doc files. We need the equivalent. We need a way to export MYOB files, support QuickBooks files, something that we can use to break into the proprietary market in the mainstream. Use proper accounting practices. Now, this is going to seem like duh, it's pretty obvious, but it's not always done. As I said before, make sure everything uses double entry. I've seen a lot of ISP-style systems where they're basically a big pool, and you chuck your invoices in it, and you chuck some money in it, and as long as it sort of balances out, hey, everything's good. That doesn't work for most accountants' requirements. Payments always have to balance the invoices, and if they don't, you need to have credit notes or whatever to handle the extra amounts. Purely from a taxation point of view, being able to figure out when the actual money for that particular tax came in and putting it in the right tax periods. Some places don't care. I know a lot of people just go, I'll just shove it under the rug and forget about it and just hope you don't get audited. But it can actually be a potential problem, especially if you're dealing with large amounts of funds. Yeah, crazy customers. I suspect you might all have been dealing with some of those. I've seen customers who pay $5 a month extra than they need to. I have no clue where they get these ideas from. They just decide to pay $5 more. I've seen customers who pay their $10 dial-up account a month and $3 amount, $2.50 amounts each week. Make sure your software can handle this sort of craziness. No one's going to pay you the right amount all the time. And some programs are pretty dependent on the payments matching, so just be careful. Do it. Understand your taxation requirements. Not always as simple as it seems. If you've ever had a look through your department's tax regulation documents, they can either be nice and clear or horrendously bad. New Zealand IRD is actually pretty good. Most of their docs are reasonably straightforward. I mean, well, from a taxation point of view, they're straightforward. They're still not nice and clear, but they're as good as they could probably be. Make sure your software that you choose can deal with it, because when you're buying proprietary software, if it's sold in a certain country, they support it in that country. If you're using an open source package, it can be developed in the US, it can be developed in Germany, Russia, wherever. You can't be sure that their taxation requirements are going to meet with yours. And one example of this is the handling of GST in New Zealand. Now, in New Zealand, there's two ways to do GST. Unless you're pulling in multiple millions, you can do it in invoice basis, where you pay GST on the date that the invoice was sent to the customer, or you do it on payment basis, where you pay it on the date the customer actually gave you the money. Now, I'm a great fan of the latter one, because it means I don't have to pay anything out that you have. However, some accounting software in particular, this happened with SQL Ledger 2.6 series, I'm not sure about 2.8, but what happened is if the customer paid you in installments, so say a 10 grand invoice, so I'm paid two grand, remainder, what would happen is it would only show the tax for the period of a final payment, which is wrong by New Zealand standards, because it has to do it on the date of each payment for that particular amount. So just make sure your software does comply with that and does comply with your particular requirements. ISPs, hosting providers, these ones are great. If you're dealing with data accounting, there's a whole new minefield of issues you can run into. And I've seen a lot of fun in this. In fact, I even got caught up myself the other day. Anyone tell me what's wrong with that slide? Correct, 32-bit integers. The maximum size of a signed 32-bit integer is just over 2.1 million, or if you use an unsigned, 4.2. So that's a 2 gig or a 4 gig maximum in a 32-bit integer. On a 10 megabit connection, you'll use that in 28 minutes. If you've got a whole bunch of customers downloading a whole bunch of data really fast, your counters are going to hit the max. And when they do, depending on your software, they'll either add a second row into the database and it'll be sweet, they'll just stick where they're at, so your customer will only get charged at 2 gig, or it'll just go and reset to zero, and your customer will be charged somewhere between 0 and 4 gig for their entire month's usage. For God's sakes, use 64-bit integers. It's pretty straightforward. Just make sure you update your OS, and you should be fine. And make sure you update every part of your billing setup. If you've got a 64-bit billing system, but some dodgy-ass 32-bit router, you're going to end up with bad input. Garbage in, garbage out. And when that happens, you end up with someone like this guy chewing up all your bandwidth, getting free data, downloading all the Fedora repos, and having some good fun. So make sure you properly understand the platform you're writing for. Make sure you've got a 64-bit OS, or if you're selling software to other customers, make sure that you know what they're running it on. If you're going to be supplying software to people using 32-bit OSs, you're going to have to make sure your software can handle that. Yeah, true. I mean, you can be a bit clever and do the right sort of thing. Or even, at the end of the day, 32-bit doesn't matter. As long as you write your software smart enough so it knows that when the counter reaches max, it inserts that row, and then there's another one and inserts that row. You just got to understand what's going on and make sure you're aware of that, because I've seen several products that don't do it, and it's quite scary. There's also got a little trick to it. I mean, Perl's got a MathBigint module, which allows you to do 64-bit integers on 32-bit host. PHP's got nothing, I understand. You have to run this a little bit. Okay, awesome. No worries. So there is actually a large integer library for PHP available. The actual approach I took with MNN's billing system was we just use the database, because the database knows how to handle 64-bit even on a 32-bit machine. So chuck our maths in there as a SQL query, it'll do the calculation, send us a result, and it's foolproof on pretty much any platform we throw at. So that's about it for data accounting. There's a few other little tricks and tips just to make sure you're aware. Audit your data accounting system. I've seen a lot of companies that don't do it. They just put one off shelf, stick it in, and assume what they're charging is right. It's not always. Double check, please. So I thought I'd round up with a little few of the areas that need help. We've got a lot of open source projects in accounting. We've got a lot of problems, and a lot of areas that still aren't really well covered. And if certain of you are developers in that area, you might be interested in helping work out some of these areas, or just in general, thinking about the problems. Payroll. Payroll is great. I've seen very, very few good payroll programs. And understandably, that's because payroll's bloody hard. I mean, sales tax is straightforward. It's usually just a case of percentages, making sure you perform the right requirements for generating your end of year or tax period reports, and then you should be sweet. Payroll is interesting because you've got different tax rates for different amounts of money you make, different tax rates depending on who you are, whether you've got certain benefits, and there's a whole bunch of complex legal requirements. I don't handle payroll. SQL Ledger doesn't handle payroll. I'm not sure about GNU Cash, but most of the packages I've seen tend to avoid it completely because it's just such a minefield, and you have to do it for every single country separately because they've got their own unique and wacky requirements. I did come across one recently. I haven't tried it myself yet. It's called Paymaster, and it's a New Zealand company that's developed it, and it's a GTK-based application providing just the payroll. So you can set up all your employees, work out how much you owe the IRD, and things like that. But overall, the selection's very, very bad. Mainly we could get, like I said, requirements. Yes, it is. I think it was GPL, but don't quote me on that. I'll have to check. I believe it's C with GTK. But you might want to double check that one. I was having a look around last night to see if there's any ones since I last looked, and this one came up, so I don't know much about it. Overall, though, this area is quite weak. I mean, it's something I want to tackle myself, but it's expensive. To do proper payroll, you really need to have a proper tax advisor on board to sit with the coders and work out all the requirements for your particular country. And if you want to try and support an international audience, it gets a whole bunch more interesting because you have to try and support every single wacky place. The other area, of course, like I said before, is trying to bust into the proprietary market. As I mentioned, there's a whole bunch of accounting companies that use MYOB primarily for their accounts. It would be very, very nice if we had a way we could just go, oh, use MYOB? No worries, we'll provide this legacy format to you, export, here's your MYOB file, done. Vice versa, we'd like to be able to import MYOB files. From what we've seen, no one's really had a look at that. Most of the companies tend to work around it by basically saying, click on all these different menu options in this order, generate the right sort of CSV files, and import them that way. That's how some of the proprietary vendors tend to deal with it as well. But it'd be really great if someone was able to work out what the database structure in these programs is and how we can pull information of it out. So, I mean, if you're bored and accounting software seems like a really exciting thing, feel free to give me a call and take a look at some of these proprietary packages. Because that's really the key to getting more widespread adoption, being able to provide the accounting companies with what they want until they realize the benefits of actually running open source themselves. Advocacy. Remind people that open source packages do actually exist. A lot of people still aren't quite aware that there is open source accounting software out there. They go, yeah, we've got this awesome Linux-based setup everywhere and this one Windows-based MYOB PC that we don't talk about much. Tell them about it. Say, hey, there are a few options. Check out these different links. Check out these different packages. Have a little look around and see what's out there. In particular, if you can talk to accountants and tell them about some of the packages, even better, because they're the ones who drive adoption of software. So that's the gist of my talk. Thank you for that. I've got the contact details up there. If you've got questions, I might just get someone to run around for the mic. I'll get chat around. Okay. I mean, I'd say GL Ledger isn't based simply from the fact that the website actually useful. You go to SQL Ledger, it's got a few screenshots, but you can't download docs, you can't really see what's going on in the community that much. Ledger isn't based great, roadmaps, plans, who's developing it, really, really fucking progress. Right, yeah.
Sure.
Yep, so that statement was it's the same story behind Compeer and the Entity Fork. No, I'll repeat it. I'm a software guy, not a hardware guy.
But that's pretty simple, so I can get the cheapest version of software if I get commercial. But the problem I have is a lot of my things are in other currencies. I do something for someone and they want to be charged $1,000 US, not some New Zealand amount, and then when they pay it, the exchange rate's changed. Do you have any comments about what handles that situation well and what doesn't?
Most of the packages I've seen tend to avoid the issue by doing the transaction conversion at the payment purchase, so the customer's at the gateway and in the credit card details and they convert it to NZ dollars and as NZ dollars into the carrying system. But it's something I want to rectify with my project. We only do one currency support at the moment. It's actually quite hard to do multiple currencies. You've got to handle the conversion, like what happens if you move funds from a US account to an NZ account, how do you get the exchange rate, how do you work out what fees the bank's going to put on it. So there's a lot of complexities involved behind it.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm doing with all my transactions often, and so I just end up using a spreadsheet rather than an accounting package.
Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem for us too. I mean, we charge, AmazonMS provides commercially hosted versions of our software, and we just charge New Zealand dollars, but give them basically a US price alongside it, so you know roughly how much it's going to cost. But it would be very nice to do multiple currencies and be able to import it. It's just a bit of complex, but it works. To be honest, I'm not sure if it might be easier versus just repeating it.
No disrespect to AMA DMS, but I wondered if the New Zealand open source community had coalesced around one particular accounting package. Being that there's so many out there, you know, is there a common thread? You know, like Drupal has gone, seems to have gone New Zealand flavour. Is it a DMPR? Is it Open Bravo? You know, what is it? What are people, what's the...
From my background, it seems to be very, very varied. A lot of people aren't aware of that many good options. I mean, when I posted to the New Zealand open source list early last year about the release of our software, it was like, oh wow, there's actually open source package available. So it seems to be quite a mix. I know a lot of GNU Cash users, because it's New Zealand, there's lots of small businesses, people doing one or two man companies, and that works really well for them. The actual businesses themselves tend to often just use MIB in the back end or something like that. It's very fragmented. I'd say MIB is there. Anyway, another story.
Is there a standard transaction format? Like if you want to interoperate between the various
packages.
And if there isn't that something we should be looking at?
There are certain standards from banking, I think it's called OFX or OBX, something like that, which is a way you structure documents for bank statement transactions. I don't believe it's, or at least I'm not familiar with a standard for doing transactions between account packages, like saying, oh, put these accounts into that one or whatever. I mean, it'd be nice if I could just do, send an invoice to a customer who also uses open source package, and it would read the invoice metadata and know exactly how to enter in their accounting system for them, rather than have to read the PDF and enter the figures in. So there's certainly some areas where it would be really cool to have that, but I'm not familiar with the current setup like that. Okay, yep. So the statement was there are some international standards like EBXHTML. EBXML, sorry. To some degree, yes. I'm guilty of reinventing the wheel. Mainly, I would argue that I didn't completely because I needed a system that's designed for developers and integration, and I didn't think the current products were really suitable for that. But to some degree, you could argue that, yes, I should have spent my time trying to fix up such and such project or whatever. I mean, it was a sort of toss-up between do I want to reinvent or do I want to start clean and build something really solid. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I'm trying to go for a bit more of a market where there's a little bit more linking with other systems, like doing ISP side of things. That's all built in. So if you're doing that sort of service, it's quite a little bit different, whereas Ledger SMB, or at least SQL Ledger, is more about business accounts and also does inventory and warehouse type things as well. I don't think they're going on a path of doing service billing as much. If you want to make a merge of PHP and Perl, go ahead. It could be quite interesting. And Postgres MySQL, yes.
I was listening when you were auditing the different packages. Did you skip over Open Bravo?
No, I just didn't have enough slides. I'm sorry, I mentioned there's a couple of options that are around, but I didn't actually cover it. Yes, they did. I haven't really played with it, to be honest. I've heard about it, some people recommend it to me, but I haven't tried it myself. So I can't really give you a good comment.
And if I may make a comment, when you're doing payroll, it's not only national, it can be on award by award. I was brought into a project that had been going for 18 months. When I saw the award, I understood why.
Yeah. It's a very nasty mess that I've so far tried to stay out of. If you guys pass it back to me.
You mentioned that you've documented the database schema of one of the other packages.
Yes, SQL Ledger version 2.6. I know there's version 2.8 out. I'm not sure how much it's diverged, but it should be relatively the same.
And did you submit the documentation upstream, and what was the response?
I haven't bothered, to be honest. It's still alpha. I mean, we wrote it for our own purposes to do a migration. I know there's a few mistakes in it, and it's not perfect, but if anyone's actually doing stuff with SQL Ledger, it could be useful. What we'll probably do is, when we actually write the documentation again for Ledger SMB, then we'll probably submit that upstream, because that'll be useful to them. But SQL Ledger doesn't seem to be particularly keen on the contributions anyway, so we're not really that worried about them.
No worries.
Have you done anything with stock control?
No, I haven't touched stock or anything like that yet. It's probably not something
I meant as in books and things like that, not
Oh, shares. Sorry, inventory type things, yeah. We've got very, very basic at the moment. We're not planning to expand it in the near future. But if there's enough demand for it, we certainly will, or if there's contributions towards that type. I mean, it's set up to do that in the basics. It just needs more work done on the coding. Any more questions before we get tossed out?
Given that so many people have got a vested interest in this area, there's a lot of desire that it moves forward. Can you name anyone who's sort of going to coalesce this into something that is going to happen? You know, is there somebody who's moving and shaking in this area?
If you mean like a company that's really pushing towards, or...?
Yeah, a company or an individual who will draw it together.
Well, I mean, egotistical myself would say, I'm working on trying to make it all good, but there's no particular individuals or companies that stand out that really makes me say, yep, those guys are going to solve our problem. In some ways, proprietary vendors are actually going to be our best friends, because there's so many new startups and proprietary companies bringing things like SaaS billing platforms, SaaS accounting systems, new upstarts trying to compete with MIB and QuickBooks. Those companies got lots more money than I have. And they're the ones that are going to be shaking those other vendors, trying to get their formats so they can create their own other proprietary products. So I think we'll sort of get drawn along that ride a bit, and depending on what happens with the other vendors fighting each other, we might see things open up a bit. But I haven't really seen anyone in the open source space that's really like got serious cash and serious time to actually try and break open that market. One more. Any more questions on the front row? I'll give you guys one more, otherwise we get tossed out. Nope. Awesome. Cheers, guys.